Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle-working business. God bless you. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, I'm excited to continue on in the message about the glory restored. We need God's presence in our lives, and we're going to the Word of God to discover how God chose to manifest Himself and how we can experience a greater realization, a greater encounter with God for the days that we have before us, because the times are growing very dark and we need God's strength, we need His provision, we need His anointing and presence. So let us begin now by sharing some verses of scripture found in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and all that pertaineth unto him, because of the ark of God. Remember, the ark of God was the literal, physical manifestation of God's presence under the old covenant to his people. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David, which was Jerusalem, with gladness. And verse 13 says, And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And verse 17 says, And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Praise God. All right, so what was going on? We saw that this was really one of the first acts that he did as king. He loved God. He was a man after God's own heart. And he wanted God's presence. This was, you know, God shows in very physically manifested ways his presence, the Shekinah glory cloud of the presence of God. He wanted God with him. And so we see this was a time of great rejoicing, and he was expressing himself in wholehearted worship. And when you stop to really, you know, we read this scripture and we think, oh my, that's just must have been wonderful. But think about this. What was he doing? What was David doing? We know that God was very clear in giving specific instructions to Moses when he was in the mount. He showed him the tabernacle. He was very specific what was to be done as far as the priesthood, how they were to offer the various sacrifices, the construction of the tabernacle. Remember, there was the outer court, the inner court, holy place, and the holiest of holies where the presence of God was, the ark of God, and only once a year the high priest could go through that veil on the Day of Atonement to offer a blood sacrifice to cover the sins of the people for 1 year. So what do we see David doing? How could he presume? He was not a high priest, he was king. How could he take the presence of God? We know from the Word of God that obviously the law was in full force. The blood sacrifices needed to continue, and they did continue. The sacrifices continued at Mount Gibeon. We find in 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, verse 4, Solomon went there to sacrifice. He had just been anointed and crowned king. That was where he assumed the throne, and he had this dream. Remember, the Lord asked him what would he want, and he asked for wisdom. And because God was pleased with his request, he gave him, promised him, riches and fame such as no other king before or after him would have. But the blood sacrifices were continuing on Mount Gibeon, and the presence of God wasn't there. The Ark of the Covenant wasn't there. David took it. He took it to the city of David. And beloved, I believe this was specifically allowed by the Holy Spirit, because this is an Old Testament prophetic picture of the relationship that we today enjoy as new covenant believers. The Word of God says in Revelation, we are kings. God has washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made unto us kings and priests unto our God. You and I, beloved, are kings and priests unto the Lord. And that veil of the temple was rent, that heavy, thick veil at the time of Jesus' death by invisible hands from the very top to the bottom. It was torn, signifying that a new and living way. We were now, individual believers could now go into the very holy place, which was only allowed once a year by the high priest. Do you see what a dramatic, what a radical action this was? David to take the presence of God. But beloved, that is what we enjoy today, that we can come before the presence of the Lord anytime. And what do we see David doing? His whole person was involved, his body, his soul, his spirit. The Word of God says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And if you will ever do a study, if you want to, on your own, you may not have any issues. You may be exactly where I'm at. But the Word of God is very clear, especially as you go through Psalms. Look up what praise and worship says. It involves the body, the soul, and the spirit. Our spirit to be prostrate in humility before the Lord. Our soul lifted up unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul? And our body, we can clap unto the Lord, make a joyful noise unto Him. All ye people, clap unto the Lord, or shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. We can kneel before Him. In fact, in our English Bibles, the King James, there are actually 7 Hebrew words for praise. The expression of thanks, extending the hand in thanksgiving, that's todah. That's an actual word for thank you in Hebrew today, todah. And there's yada from Judah, the tribe of Judah, from which Jesus came, the tribe of praise. It's to use the hand as if to throw or cast, to revere, to thank, to declare, public proclamation, confessing, yada. Barak, it means to kneel, to bless, to thank, to praise, to shabbat, to shout, to address in a loud tone. All of these are what we see in our English Bible, just praise. The Jewish language is so rich. And then there's another word, hallel, H-A-L-A-L. That's where we get the word hallelujah from. That's used in all the languages of the world. And listen to the definition of hallel. It's to be clear, transparent, to shine, to boast, to celebrate. And it goes on even further. It goes on more radically to rave, to make a show, to be clamorously foolish. That's what David was doing before the Lord. When he was so thrilled, he was so happy, God had fulfilled His word to him, and he was bringing the presence of God right to where he lived in the city of David. Yeah, the blood sacrifices were going on in Gibeon, but he wanted God's presence. And you know what? He found favor in God's sight. He didn't strike him dead. but he was expressing himself to God in hallel praise. And he was totally enthusiastic. He was totally wholehearted. He was giving of himself in worship. What a beautiful picture, that Hebrew word, hallel, to praise God. Basically, in modern words, to make a fool of himself. That's what he was doing. And could we get to that place, beloved, that we would be willing to do that? Amen. You know, there's that verse of scripture where it says Jesus rejoiced in spirit, and when he said he was rejoicing before the Father because the Lord had chosen to reveal The Father had chosen to reveal the truths of God, the deep truths of God, to infants and babes, and hidden them from the wise. It says he rejoiced. That word is ghoul, G-U-W-L, and means to spin around under the influence of any violent emotion, to rejoice, to be glad, to be joyful. Do you know that the Spirit of the Lord, when we gather together to worship, He is worshiping the Father with us? That beautiful psalm, which is a messianic psalm, most scholars totally agree. It begins, "O God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Many of the words that Jesus actually quoted, used on the cross. In verse 22 of that psalm, he says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." And then a beautiful passage in Zephaniah 3:17. Just think about this. This is, it's got your name on it. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save and he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Hallelujah. One author said, "God created our emotions, and praise is the noblest way to release our emotions. Too many of God's saints have been hindered from entering into a deeper experience in the Lord simply because they were not willing to initiate a physical release." And you can say, "Well, you know, I can praise God in my heart. I don't have to make a big show of it." Well, beloved, you can reverence God, you can adore Him, you can love Him, but you can't praise Him. Praise, by definitions, is vocal. It has to be vocalized. Our God is a consuming fire. He's a holy God, and He wants us with all of our heart to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus said to the woman at the well, "The Father is seeking such true worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth." And that's what God is raising up in this hour. Aren't you glad to be a part of it? Oh my goodness, I wish I had an hour. There's more to come, but we have to wait till tomorrow's broadcast. So thank you for joining me. I do look forward to being with you again tomorrow as we continue on in this to understand how we can experience God's presence in our lives in a greater and deeper and richer way. However, if you have prayer needs, there's power in agreement, beloved. Jesus said that we need to agree together and we can see God do a great work. I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.